thank you for all of you. Hopefully you're hearing better. And those of you that thought it was too loud, hopefully it's not as loud. Those of you that thought it was too quiet, hopefully it's a little louder for you. And hopefully it's just balanced for everybody. Praise the Lord. Let's go to the word of the Lord tonight. Galatians chapter 6, verse 17. From henceforth let no man trouble me, for I bear in my body the marks of the Lord Jesus. And then let's turn over to Acts chapter 20. Acts chapter 20 and verse 35. I have showed you all things, how that so laboring ye ought to support the weak, and to remember the words of the Lord Jesus, how he said, it is more blessed to give than to receive. Talking about the marks of a Christian tonight, and in specific, we're going to talk about generosity. Generosity. Thank you, Lord, for your word. Thank you for what we feel. I pray that you would speak to us and challenge us, God. I pray that you'd help us to leave here with a word from you that would direct our lives, that would give us wisdom, that would give us help, that would open the door, the key to the door that you want us to go through. We give you the praise and the glory for it right now in Jesus' name. And everybody said amen. God bless you. You may be seated. We've been talking for several weeks now about the marks of a Christian. Marks that should be evident in our lives, in our character, in our everyday walk. We have now covered loyalty, patience, courage, humility, and in our last lesson, separation. Separation. These are all things that can be pretty scarce in our world today. Loyalty, patience, courage, humility, separation. But they are required in the life of a child of God. In looking in our last lesson at separation, it is definitely a calling for the church to be separate from the world. It doesn't get much more plain than what we read in 2 Corinthians chapter 6, verse 14. It says, be ye not unequally yoked together with unbelievers, for what fellowship hath righteousness with unrighteousness? And what communion hath light with darkness? And what concord hath Christ with Belial? Or what part hath he that believeth with an infidel? And what agreement hath the temple of God with idols? For ye are the temple of the living God. As God hath said, I will dwell in them and walk in them, and I will be their God, and they shall be my people. Wherefore come out from among them, and be ye separate, saith the Lord, and touch not the unclean thing, and I will receive you, and I will be a father unto you, and ye shall be my sons and daughters, saith the Lord Almighty. In our last lesson, we looked at how Christians should be separated from the world around us in those that we associate closely with, in places that we go, in how we dress, in the things that we do. We talked about compromise, and we looked at some biblical examples of that and sad stories of compromise. The very word compromise, it speaks of blending two things together. To settle differences by having an agreement somewhere in the middle. In other words, mixing the world with the church. God did not call us to compromise. He called us to be separate. And if we're to be a Christian, then there must be a mark of separation that is upon us. To where we just don't fit in with the things of the world, to where we're not comfortable being around the things of the world, but we're separated unto Jesus Christ. We now move on tonight to the subject of generosity. And I want to begin with a little clarification to help us here. Some people, when the preacher starts talking about generosity, they think, well, he's talking about money. And because they can't get their focus past money, well, they miss the whole point. But generosity is so much more than just giving financially. Someone can be a very giving person financially, but they may not be a generous person. You know, they may be a very giving person financially, but they don't have a generous heart. Someone could give $1 million to some type of cause, And then people say, oh, they're so generous. But they may not be a forgiving person. And so we really wouldn't call them generous because of their lack of a forgiving spirit. You see what I mean here? So if someone is truly generous, then their generosity goes much further than just giving financially. It will go to their heart, and they'll be generous in other areas besides just money. Generosity must affect our wallets, yes, but it goes further, much further than that. And it needs to be a part of who we are so that it comes out in all areas of life. Let's look tonight at what generosity is. What is it really? Someone said, generosity is the act of doing more than is expected of us. The act of doing more than what is expected of us. When we only do the things that are expected of us, then we really haven't done anything. We're just carrying on with what's expected. Where generosity comes in is when we do more, when we go beyond, when we do more than what is expected of us. If I would give $100 to Sister McCoy to go get groceries, and call that generosity, well, that's not generosity. That's just what's expected. Actually, it's more like a $200 bill or something, you know? Do y'all know how much teenage boys eat? Have y'all, anybody remember that? My goodness. That's not generosity. That's just what's expected. But if I were to give her $100 bill and say, hey, just go get you a pair of shoes or whatever you want to spend it on, that may be more generous. Now, don't give her any ideas, folks, but that's beyond what is expected. That's generosity. When we bring our tithe to the Lord, when we give offering, we might get the feeling sometimes that, oh, I'm so generous. But according to God's word, we're just doing what is expected of us. It's when we go beyond what is expected that generosity comes into play. And when we love our own family and we're good to our family, that's not really being generous. That's what's expected. It's expected that we love our children. It's expected that we love our wife. Husbands, wives, it's expected that you love your husband and help us, Lord. But that's just what's expected. That's not being generous. But when we love those that despitefully use us, that's being generous. Help us to be generous in love, Lord. We've been looking at all of these examples of the marks of a Christian, and let's look again tonight at the life of Paul when it comes to generosity. Remember with me today, Paul was a Pharisee, and the Pharisees were known for, they had very narrow beliefs, and they were known for being very self-centered. But after Jesus Christ transformed Paul, after his life was completely changed, his heart was then open to all men. Remember how God tells Ananias, he says, I want you to go and pray for this man named Saul. He's met me on the road to Damascus, and I want you to go pray for him. And of course, Ananias was a little skeptical about this because he had heard of Saul. He knew who Saul was. Saul was persecuting the church. And then we read in Acts chapter 9, verse 15, it says, but the Lord said unto him, go thy way. For he is a chosen vessel unto me to bear my name before the Gentiles and kings and the children of Israel. He used to be a Pharisee, but once the Lord transformed him, then he preached to every class of people. He was very generous in reaching to all with the gospel. And God used him to evangelize the world of that time. In fact, if you study the life of Paul, there was one city where they stoned him and left him for dead. Now, you or I would probably just catch the next flight out and let the Lord deal with those people. But Paul, he goes back to minister just a little while later to the same people that tried to kill him. He was generous. He was so generous-hearted that He would do anything necessary to win people to the Lord. He wrote in 1 Corinthians chapter 9 and verse 22, he said, "To the weak became I as weak, that I might gain the weak. I am made all things to all men, that I might by all means save some. To the slaves, he became a slave. To the prisoners, he became a prisoner. He generously gave himself to others." There's been some times that I developed an interest about things that I really didn't have an interest about because I was trying to reach somebody for the Lord. You know, you may not care about hunting and fishing, but your neighbor might. And you need to make a connection with that neighbor so the love of Jesus can shine through you. And so you learn to get them talking about what they like to talk about. Remember one time, I don't know much about sailing. My father did buy a small sailboat when I was little, and I went into this man's office and noticed he had pictures of him and sailboats all around, and got to talking to him about sailing. And this was a man he was very busy, a businessman, and it was hard to get an appointment with him. But an hour or so later, here he was talking about all of his sailboats and all of his trips that he's taken around the world. And got to make a connection there. Become all things to all men that I might by all means save some. To give ourselves generously to others. Paul was a great example of generosity. Do you remember the Jewish man who went down to Jericho and fell among thieves? They beat him and they robbed him and they left him for dead. The Levite and the priest passed him by, but the Good Samaritan saved his life and took care of him. The Samaritan was supposed to be a man who hated the Jews, but he showed generosity. He had a loving spirit and attitude for this injured man. He put aside hatred, he put aside anger, and he generously gave himself to a man that hated him. The Jews hated the Samaritans, but he didn't let that stop him. He had the right spirit. Lord, help us to have the right spirit today. Help us to have a long-suffering spirit. Help us to have a generous spirit. Hey, I believe we need to stop the bitter cycle of hate and anger in our world. Someone needs to be the one to take the first step and say, I don't want to just keep up this cycle of anger and bitterness, but I'm going to be generous and I'm going to give myself to you so that we may not agree on politics or we may not agree on this or that, but I am going to be generous to you because I want to stop this cycle of hate and anger. If you study the Hatfields and the McCoys, there's no Hatfields here tonight, right? There were a whole lot of lives lost over some silly things. Really, there may have been some misunderstandings in the beginning. And when it boils down to it, there were some people that were too prideful to let some things go. And so things just kept on escalating until in the end, at least a dozen or more people were killed, it totally wrecked lives forever. The Hatfield and McCoy feud is now part of American folklore, but it should be a reminder to us that it's much better to give with a generous heart, to love people, to forgive, to love our enemy, than to hold on with a grudge and let bitterness destroy us. Bitterness does not destroy the other person. They're going on living their life. They're fine. They're not worried about it. Bitterness destroys us. The Good Samaritan is a prime example of generosity. Even though the Jews hated the Samaritans, he could not let that Jewish man die there alone on that road to Jericho, and so he generously gave himself. Of course, the greatest example of generosity is to be found in that of Jesus Christ. There was absolutely no prejudice in him. He had love for every man, for every woman. the Jew, the Gentile, the rich, the poor, those who were slaves, those who were free. He saw their needs. He was touched by their burdens. He responded to them with love and compassion. He gave himself generously to everyone. He stopped to look up at a short man named Zacchaeus who had climbed up in a tree in order to see him. And he said, "Come on down, Zacchaeus. I'm going to your house today." It didn't matter that Zacchaeus was a tax collector and perhaps the most hated man in that city. Jesus was reaching to a lost soul that day. It didn't matter to him that the gossip of the town was that Jesus here was the guest of a man who was a sinner. No, he had come to make a difference in the life of Zacchaeus. And we read in Luke 19:8, it says, "And Zacchaeus stood and said unto the Lord, Behold, Lord, the half of my goods I give to the poor. And if I have taken anything from any man by false accusation, I restore him fourfold." And Jesus said unto him, "This day is salvation come to this house, for so much as he also is a son of Abraham. For the Son of Man has come to seek and to save that which is lost." Come on, if we're going to bear the marks of Jesus Christ, then we've got to have a heart of generosity that seeks to save those who are lost. The scribes and the Pharisees brought a woman to Jesus who had been caught in adultery. And they threw her down before him saying that, "Hey, the law says that we ought to stone her. What do you say, Jesus?" And with generosity, he stoops down calmly and he writes in the dirt and he tells them, "He that is without sin among you, let him cast the first stone at her." He responded to her cry. He lifted her up and he helped her to a better life. Come on, we have to realize God has been generous with us. When we look at others, they need to see generosity flowing through us because we have to have the mark of Jesus Christ. See the Lord as he goes to the cross. He could have barely breathed the words, and legions of angels would have swooped down, descended upon this earth immediately to rescue him. But instead, he goes all the way to the cross, giving and giving and giving. He gave more than what was ever expected. He gave his life. He gave his love. He gave his blood for you and for me while we were yet sinners. And if we're to follow him, then we must also bear the mark of generosity. God help us to look beyond ourselves. We get so self-centered. We get so focused on me and mine and what's going on in our world. God, help us to look beyond ourselves, to think beyond just what affects our immediate lives, to see the needs of those that are around us, to reach them with love and compassion, just as Jesus has reached to us. God, help us to have a generous heart that's focused outward instead of inward only, to bear the mark of generosity, the mark of a Christian. Who is it tonight that we are to be generous to? Where do we start? What can we do to show generosity? A good start is to be generous to our friends and our family. It's a good start. You know, sometimes we can be the least generous to the ones we love the most. It's a proven fact that we generally hurt the ones we love the most. You know, we overlook the faults of some people we work with. No harm intended there, Brother Medley. But think about it today. We overlook the faults of some that we work with, but when we get home, we have no mercy for the little faults of family. We must be generous in our home. The Bible tells us that a man who won't provide for his own household is worse than an infidel. He surely doesn't bear the marks of a Christian. And we should be even more than just a little generous in the home. overlooking the faults of others just like we would like them to overlook our faults. When looking for someone to be generous to, let's not skip our friends and our family. Secondly, we ought to be generous to our enemies. Yes, our enemies. Now, hopefully none of us have any enemies here tonight. I know I don't. But perhaps if one day you do, okay? If someday you sense that someone doesn't like you and they treat you unfairly or they talk about us behind our back or they seek to destroy us, then that is an opportunity to show generosity. Remember the Lord on the cross, his body racked with pain, enduring the humiliation and the mocking of the crowd, and he was wrongly condemned, and he was unjustly and cruelly crucified. His flesh cries out to the Spirit, Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do. It's hard to be generous to those who hurt us. It's not an easy thing to do. But this is the biggest test of Christianity. This is the biggest test of a Christian. Could this be one of the greatest marks that a Christian can bear, setting us completely apart from the world around us? This world says, if you hurt me, I'm going to hurt you back even more. But when we learn to forgive quickly, when we learn to love those who wrong us, we are manifesting the Spirit of Jesus Christ, and we are being generous in God's love. Jesus said in Matthew chapter 5, verse 38 through 47, he said, you have heard that it had been said, an eye for an eye and a tooth for a tooth. Boy, you like that, don't we? But I say unto you that ye resist not evil, but whosoever shall smite thee on thy right cheek, turn to him the other also. And if any man will sue thee at the law and take away thy coat, let him have thy cloak also. And whosoever shall compare thee to go a mile, go with him twain. Give to him that asketh thee, and from him that would borrow of thee, turn not thou away. Ye have heard that it hath been said, thou shalt love thy neighbor and hate thine enemy. But I say unto you, love your enemies, bless them that curse you, do good to them that hate you, and pray for them which despitefully use you and persecute you. Verse 45, that ye may be the children of your Father which is in heaven. For he maketh his sun to rise on the evil and on the good, and sendeth rain on the just and on the unjust. For if ye love them which love you, what reward have ye? Do not even the publicans do the same? And if ye salute your brethren only, what do ye more than others? Do not even the publicans so? The mark of a Christian, generosity, going beyond that which is expected of us, loving our enemies, blessing them that curse us, doing good to them that hate us. Well, I tell you, it's anti everything that the world would say, but it's the mark of Jesus Christ. Praying for those who despitefully use us, forgiving someone who wronged us. It's expected that we would love those who love us. That's expected. But it's generosity. It's the mark of a Christian to extend grace and mercy to someone who doesn't even care that they've hurt us. God, help us to be like you. Help us to be generous. Help us to love others. Help us to show the love of Jesus Christ through our generosity. The story is told of a very hateful man who he gave a beating to another man just because he was a Christian. And in his anger as he's beating him, he says to him, "What can Jesus Christ do to help you now?" But the man answered him through the pain and through the blood. He said, he helps me to forgive you. God, help us. Help us. That's the spirit we need. It's not an easy thing to ask for. Our human nature likes to rise up quickly. We don't like being taken advantage of. We don't take lightly to being treated wrong. But what about the marks of a Christian? What about the marks of Jesus Christ? Help us, Lord. Help us, Lord. Oh, to have the courage and have the grace and have the generosity to speak to someone who was even beating us and saying, what can Jesus do to help you? But he's helping me love you. He's helping me forgive you. If you study the presidency of Abraham Lincoln, he often surrounded himself with those who some would consider his enemies. President Lincoln was often quoted to have said that he had no enemies. He would even write letters to people who they were undoubtedly his enemies, but he would call them friend. Yet even when there was someone who had treated him wrong, if they were the best person for the job, he had no problem using them in government positions. Edwin M. Stanton was certainly one of those who considered himself an enemy of Lincoln. At one point, he is said to have said about Lincoln during the election, he said, if we want a gorilla for president, then why don't we send for one? Now, that's not really fighting words in today's language, but back then that was pretty rough. That was pretty strong ridicule. Yet when Lincoln was choosing a Secretary of War, he felt that Stanton was the best for the job. And that generosity, it won over Stanton, so that when Lincoln died, Stanton said, there is the greatest ruler of men the world has ever known. Quite a difference from the gorilla he once called him. Our enemies need generosity. They don't know it. They don't realize it. They're not thinking about it. They may not want to receive it, but if we're going to show the marks of a Christian in our life, then our enemies need generosity from us. This goes against everything the world would teach us. This goes against everything our flesh would say, but it's the mark of a Christian. Help us, Lord. Help us, Lord. Help us, Lord. Who else should we show generosity to? What about our competitors? Our competitors. Two businessmen had stores across the street from one another, and they really couldn't stand each other. When they ran into each other in town, they'd avoid coming face to face so they wouldn't have to talk. But one of the men was a Christian, and God started dealing with him about his relationship with this competitor. And so he finally went and he talked to his pastor about it. He said, What do I need to do? I don't feel right about this, but I don't know exactly how to approach it. The pastor said, well, you need to look for an opportunity to win him over as a friend. He said, the next time you're out of something that a customer needs, send them over to your competitor's store. So he did so. And that generosity, it melted the heart of the other man. And in the end, they became good friends. Sometimes we'll be surprised at who we can be friends with if we don't let competition destroy us. Sometimes we'll be very surprised at who we can become good friends with if we refuse to let competition destroy us. Now, maybe you don't have a store across the street from a competitor, but maybe there's competition somewhere else in your life. Maybe from somebody at work who just seems to be pushing to try to get that promotion that you would really like, or maybe it's a student at school, or maybe another salesman who's been beating your numbers. And maybe you're feeling competition from a neighbor. Somebody on your street who they always have to have the newest car or the best cut lawn or the biggest toys. Look for a way to win over your competition, to be generous, to show the mark of a Christian. How do you know when you've really forgiven someone? when you can see that person by surprise somewhere, maybe in a store, maybe wherever it might be, and you don't get that little, you know what I'm talking about? That, you know, you're not expecting to see them, and all of a sudden you see them, and it's like, That should tell us something. There's a little something down in my heart. There's a little bitterness there. There's a little unforgiveness there. There's a little something that's not quite right. God, help me. Lord, I release that. I pray that you would take that from my heart. I pray that you would remove any bitterness from me. And then go and pray that God would bless them, that God would bless their home, that God would bless their finances, that God would save their kids, that God would touch their family. Pray for them. Pray for them. Why should we be generous? What's the point of being generous? Why should we do this? Why should we go to all the trouble of showing generosity to our friends and our family, show generosity to our enemies, to our competitors in life? Why not just do it like everybody else in the world does? Well, first of all, we got to remember how generous God has been to us. Come on, how about it tonight? God's been generous. God's been good to us. Come on, what do we have in our life that didn't come from Him? What do we have that He did not give to us? He's blessed us so much. He's been more than generous in our life. Everything we have, it came from the Lord. What would we do if He removed His hand from our life for just one second? Where would we be without the blessings of God? What would we do without His hand upon our life? I hope that I'm preaching to a group of people tonight that you realize the blessings of God that have been upon your life and upon your family. We owe everything to Him. We owe everything to Jesus Christ. It's because of His blessing that we're even alive today. It's because of His generosity that we've been born again. It's because of His kindness that we've experienced so many good things. We owe everything to Jesus. It's because of His generosity that we're even able to be here in this place tonight to enjoy His blessings and feel His Spirit and His goodness and His hand upon our life. And we should be generous in return. Help us, Lord. Matthew chapter 10, verse 7 and 8, it tells us, "And as you go, preach, saying, the kingdom of heaven is at hand. Heal the sick. Cleanse the lepers. Raise the dead, cast out devils." And then it says, "Freely ye have received, freely give." Freely we have received. We need to freely give. To be generous to others because of God's generosity in our life. Freely we have received, and oh, how we have received the blessings and the goodness and the mercy and the grace and the hand of protection of God. He has been so good to us. Freely we have received, and freely we should give. Freely we should give. Jesus told the story of a man who was forgiven his debt. Reading in Matthew chapter 18, verse 23 through 35. It says, "Therefore is the kingdom of heaven likened unto a certain king, which would take account of his servants. And when he had begun to reckon, one was brought unto him, which owed him 10,000 talents. But forasmuch as he had not to pay, his Lord commanded him to be sold, and his wife and children and all that he had, and payment to be made. The servant therefore fell down and worshipped him, saying, Lord, have patience with me, and I will pay thee all. Then the Lord of that servant was moved with compassion and loosed him and forgave him the debt." He didn't even say you have to pay this out. He forgave him the debt. "But the same servant went out and found one of his fellow servants, which owed him 100 pence. And he laid hands on him and took him by the throat, saying, Pay me what that thou owest. And his fellow servant fell down on his feet and besought him, saying, Have patience with me, and I will pay thee all. And he would not, but went and cast him into prison till he should pay the debt. So when his fellow servants saw what was done, they were very sorry and came and told unto their Lord all that was done. Then his Lord, after that he had called him, said unto him, O thou wicked servant, I forgave thee all that debt because thou desiredst me. Shouldest not thou also have had compassion on thy fellow servant, even as I had pity on thee? And his Lord was wroth and delivered him to the tormentors till he should pay all that was due unto him. So likewise shall my heavenly Father do also unto you, if ye from your hearts forgive not every one his brother their trespasses. I don't know about you, but I've got some things the Lord's forgiven me for. I've got some things, every one of us have some things that we were foolish or we were stupid or we were just stubborn. But God's forgiven us. He died to forgive us of our sin. How can I not forgive someone who's hurt me? Someone who's wronged me when God's forgiven me of so much? In this story, some Bible scholars have estimated what 10,000 talents might be worth today. There's some different views, but it definitely would represent several million, maybe many millions of dollars. On the other hand, 100 pence would be just a few dollars. The man had millions of dollars forgiven. He couldn't forgive just a few. And that's how we are sometimes. That's not generosity. That's not generosity in our lives. God's forgiven us so very much. We're unworthy of his blessing. We're unworthy of the salvation that he freely gave us. Yet he has been generous with us. We ought to be generous with others as well. Help us, Lord. Would you ask the Lord, help me? Help me, Lord, to be generous. Help me to be generous, God. Help me to have a generous heart. Help me to have a generous spirit. Praise the Lord. The second reason why we should be generous is that we are stewards. A steward is someone who holds property for someone else. We've been entrusted with some wonderful things from God, whether it's money or possessions or other things. We've been entrusted with great things from the Lord. But we've got to remember, it all belongs to God. We're just a steward. We're just a steward. It all belongs to him. He's just given us a little bit to kind of take care of for him. And if we're a Christian, we don't have that attitude of, well, it's mine, and it's mine, and it's mine. No, but we're Christians, and we realize that our talent, our treasure, our time, they belong to God. They belong to God. And so we're just stewards over what he has given us. And there's going to be an account made. There's going to be an account made of how we've handled the stewardship that God blessed us with. God, help us to be found faithful. A faithful steward that's generous unto God, that's generous with what God has blessed us with, that's generous to others. Help us to be generous. The third reason why we need to be generous is it makes us a better person. It makes us a better person. It takes generosity to strengthen us. If we're constantly holding in everything that God has blessed us with, whether it's money or other things, well, there comes a point that we're so full that we just can't receive anymore. One of our kids, I don't think they have that little thing that tells you you're full. And so when they started to eat, they'd eat as much as you gave them, and you know, it'd be so full, and you put the spoon up. Open up and take because they didn't want to refuse it. You know, they don't want to be so full. Well, sometimes that's how we are as Christians. We're so full with the blessings. We're so fat on the things that God has given us. And we're just like, shovel in more so I can hold all this, so I can try to just, you know, keep all this to myself. What's the difference in the Dead Sea and the Sea of Galilee? They're both in Israel. They're relatively close to one another. I think it's about 60 miles apart. The Jordan River flows into both of them. The difference is the Dead Sea has no outlet. And so it's called the Dead Sea. It's one of the saltiest bodies of water, about 10 times as salty as the ocean. You ever got a mouthful of ocean water? Well, the Dead Sea is about 10 times as salty. The water is so dense that it makes swimming similar to just floating. Has anybody ever been in the Dead Sea? All right, we have a few here. All because it doesn't have an outlet. So it just receives everything. The Sea of Galilee, on the other hand, it has an outlet, so it can be a blessing to the surrounding area. If our life is clogged with selfishness, then we're of no use to God, and we're no use to the world around us. In fact, we'll soon dry up and die. But when we unclog our selfishness and when we live generously, then we can be a conduit that God can funnel his blessings through. It's been said that you can't pour perfume or cologne from a bottle without getting a little on yourself. And when we live a life that's generous, constantly pouring ourselves out, the blessings of God tend to splash over on us. They keep pouring into our life. And as we pour, God keeps pouring into us. And I want to tell you tonight, he's got a bigger bottle than what we've got. There's more where that came from. We just need to learn to be a conduit, to be a generous giver of love, to be a generous giver of forgiveness, to be a generous giver of our finances, of our talent, our treasure, our time. Generosity makes a difference. It's the mark of a true Christian. It's the mark of a true Christian. Praise the Lord. I wonder if you'd stand with me in closing tonight. Apparently, Leonardo da Vinci had an enemy that he hated very much. And so he decided to paint this man's face in his great masterpiece, The Last Supper. Can anyone guess whose face he painted to be like that of his enemy? Judas, the traitor. He painted Judas's face to look like the face of this person he hated so much. And then the story goes that he tried to go and paint the face of Christ. But he struggled and he struggled and he could not do it. Eventually he realized the hatred that was in his heart, and so he painted out the face of his enemy and he went on to finish that masterpiece painting. It takes generosity to forgive. It takes generosity to have mercy. It takes generosity to truly give to the work of God. It takes generosity to be a blessing to those around us. Generosity will unstop the selfishness in our life that is holding back God's further blessings upon us. It takes generosity to bear the marks of Jesus Christ. The last part of Acts chapter 20, verse 35, it tells us, it is more blessed to give than it is to receive. It is more blessed to give than it is to receive. What is it that God's dealing with us about tonight? What is it about generosity that God's talking to us about? How is he calling us to be a generous person? Generosity makes us a bigger and a better Christian. It helps us to bear the marks of Jesus Christ. Lord, I pray that you'd help us to hear your voice. Whatever you want me to be generous in, God, however you want me to show generosity, I pray that you'd speak to me here tonight. Lord, it may be in giving, but it may be not just financially. It may be something else, Lord. I pray that you would speak to me. Lord, show me some heart that I could be a blessing to. Show me some life that I could reach for you, that I could be generous in showing your love to them. Help me, Lord, to bear this mark of Christianity. In the name of Jesus, in the name of Jesus. Come on, would you let the Lord deal with you? God, I want to be a generous person. I want to be a generous Christian, Lord. Lord, I don't want to just hold it all in for myself, but I want to be a conduit that you can flow through, that you can send your blessings through. Lord, help me to discover this blessing, that it's more blessed to give than it is to receive. I thank you for it, Lord. I praise you for it here tonight. I worship you, Jesus. I give you glory and honor and praise, Lord. Help us to be a generous person tonight. Hallelujah, hallelujah, hallelujah. Praise the Lord, praise the Lord, praise the Lord. This is the last of these lessons on the marks of a Christian. I pray that we've been moved by these. Paul said, I bear the marks of the Lord Jesus in my body. I pray that we can be more like Jesus. I pray that we are moved with compassion. I pray that we can live in such a way that people see Jesus through us. I pray that his light would shine through us so that everyone we meet, they would know that we've been with Jesus. Come on, would you let God just kind of show you the mirror of his spirit right now so that you could see, am I reflecting Jesus? Am I reflecting his love? Am I reflecting his goodness? Am I reflecting the marks of Jesus Christ? Or do I have something I need to work on tonight, Lord? I pray that you would show me. Let me see into the mirror of the Spirit right now to see myself how you see me, Lord. God, am I a generous person? Help me, Lord. In Jesus' name, Lord, I pray that you'd give us strength. I pray that you'd help us here tonight. Lord, help us to see ourselves as you see us, Lord. Help us to be honest with ourselves in your presence, Lord. What are the areas we need to work on? Where do we need to improve, God? Where do we need to be more like you? I pray that you would give us the strength to lay down this life of flesh, to lay down our attitudes, to lay down our past, and to become what you want us to be like you, to show forth your glory so that people can see you through us. I pray, Lord, that you'd move upon us here right now. In the name of Jesus, in the name of Jesus, would somebody just cry out to the Lord and let God minister and let God move in this house.
Help us, Jesus, to be more like you. Help us to show forth the marks of Jesus Christ. Hallelujah, hallelujah, hallelujah.
Praise the Lord, praise the Lord, praise the Lord. Help us, Lord. Help us, Lord. Come on, did the Lord bring somebody to mind tonight that you need to forgive? Did God talk to you about somebody that there's some bitterness there? Help us, Lord. God, we release that right now. I pray that you take that bitterness. I pray that you take that unforgiveness. In the name of Jesus, in the name of Jesus, help me to love people, God. Help me to love the lost. Help me to be more like you. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. Brother Michael, I wonder if you'd come help me here a second. you're skinny and you're agile. Is there any way you can lay down right there? Yeah. Now, Brother Michael, if I come up and I kick him, I'm not going to do it, okay? And I kick him with my size 13s here, we'll probably get a response out of him. Okay? He's not that spiritual yet, folks. If I kick him real hard, we'll probably get a response. And so would we out of all of us. But spiritually, you can kick a dead man and nothing happens. Thank you. Thank you, Brother Michael. Sometimes the enemy comes along and he sends some evil person to just kick us a little bit. Do they get the rise out of us? If so, we're not quite dead yet. We need to go back to an altar. We need to go back to fasting and prayer. We need to go back to the Word of God and say, Lord, I've got to die. I've got to die out, but let your Spirit live in me so I can be more like you and less like me. Praise the Lord. Amen. I've got to have more of him and less of me. Help us, Lord. Amen, amen. God bless you tonight. There's going to be a Voltage meeting, a youth meeting for all.